to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and with just a few moments left before the top of the hour and our daily lectionary study, I was thinking about how, well, it's the new year, and in a lot of the things that I've been listening to versus both on TV, on the radio and whatnot, everyone's talking about New Year's resolutions. What's going to come? People want to let 2016 go. People love 2016. People hated it. People are scared of 2017. People are hopeful for it. And it's a time to set goals and plans and think about the future. And yet right in the midst of that, even in the midst of some of these celebrations this past weekend, it was also a weekend filled with terror as once again jihad, shall we say, broke out. Wasn't here on our shores this time. It was largely in Turkey, but two major attacks, devastating, terrifying attacks. 35 people killed on New Year's Day morning at a nightclub celebrating that hopeful future, which the turn of the year always seems to bring for so many. And at nearly the same time, not quite, but over this weekend, the Russian ambassador to Turkey murdered while walking through an art exhibit. His protectors, unable to stop the lone gunman, who called out words about God being great and not forgetting Syria. And so in the midst of the attempt to set some goals about your life, maybe a better diet, maybe going to church a little bit more, maybe working harder at work, how can we even look toward a future when so much terror is around us? And you're going to hear this more and more now, as well as our hope is going to be placed, or our terror is going to be placed, in the transition of powers taking place on January 20th. The eyes of the world are going to be turned toward Washington, D.C., where one man, after 8 years being the most powerful man in the world, will walk away, and another man will walk in, a man who people are afraid of. People are refusing to participate in the inauguration, stars and musicians declining chances to sing for him, and an outgoing president concerned about his legacy, using powers that may or may not be his in order to preserve what he believes is right for the country. Again, what good is my diet now, right? Where am I going to find my hope in this? Is my hope in this new president or the last one? Is my hope in finding peace on earth where we put an end to terror? Or is my hope in something different? And so I'm reminded of the words of Psalm 2, a psalm that when you come across it, it can nerve-wrack you a little bit, because it's a picture of, well, the king, the real king, the king you can trust, the king whose hope will never perish. But it's a word of warning to those who would seek hope in this world, to those who would look upon the terrors of events around us or the goals of a New Year's resolution and believe that in the end of the day, they're really going to change anything about the real problems here, namely our sinful condition, death, that wage paid for sin, the devil and his tyranny over us as we submitted to him in Adam. So the psalmist, knowing all of this, begins his prayer by asking the question, "Why? What's going on? Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain?" That's what's going on in all this news I just talked about. The rage of our sinful condition, the plotting of our vanity, the kings of the earth setting themselves and the rulers taking counsel together to lift themselves up, to try to make peace on earth. But the psalmist says to make peace on earth apart from Christ is to take counsel against the Christ, against the Lord and his anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds apart and cast their cords away from us." It's easy to forget that the curse of the devil's reign over us, the curse of death, the thorns in the ground and the pain in our relationships, all of this is something God has sent upon us as due measurement, due payment for who we are and what we've done. And we cannot burst these cords. They must be burst for us. But all of our attempts to, in this way, justify ourselves are attacks against God, which in the end, if we really do not believe in Christ and set ourselves strictly as the saviors of the world, well, we don't do or get very far. For he who sits in the heavens laughs at this. And this is this one of these verses that's so strange to come across. Jesus laughs at the rage of the nations. Jesus laughs at the attempts of our world to lift itself up and create a peace out of our sin. He holds us in derision. Now, not you, Christian, but this world, this rage, this terror, this false hope. That's what he holds in derision. And so he gives a warning, verse 5. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, and here's the hope. Here's the real goal of 2017. As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. That is, Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ is ascended, and Christ will come again. The king is sitting on his throne. And there is nothing going on in all this world that's escaping his attention, nothing that's out of his control, nothing that he is not moving for the good of those who love him in his death and resurrection. That is, nothing that is not being moved to strengthen the faith of you by means of words like these, and to send these words out into the world of terror as the real glimmer of hope that pierces the darkness and the gloom. And so he tells of the decree in verse 7. This is Jesus preaching about himself. The Lord God said to me, Jesus, the Son, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. And this is exactly what Jesus preaches as well in Matthew 28 when he says, go into all nations, making disciples by baptizing and teaching, knowing that all authority in heaven and earth is mine now. And that this baptism and this teaching, these words, are that authority to save. Doing something, well, unexpected. Verse 9, breaking us with a rod of iron, dashing us to pieces like a potter's vessel, showing us that the rage of the nations and the plotting of our vanity, the turning of the new year, can do nothing to stop our sin. But we must be wise, as verse 10 says, and be warned that we would return to the Lord with fear, knowing that whatever goals we set, whatever diets we follow, whatever president we inaugurate, we still need to be saved from our sinful condition. We still need the real King who died and rose again to inhabit us with his Spirit, to cleanse us from our sins, and to bring us through the perils of this vain age, the perils of fire, the perils of death, the perils of hell. To bring us through and out of all of that via and through against past judgment day in himself, the ark of life, ferrying us across the raging flood of the storms of ourselves. Serve the Lord with fear. That's believe in this. Know who Jesus is. Know what he's done. Hope not in now, but in what he is coming again to do, and be comforted in the trembling knowledge that he is greater than us all, that nothing escapes his attention. He knew exactly what was happening this weekend. He knows what's going to happen at the end of this month, and he's bending it all in order to keep you in his faith. Yes, kiss the Son, verse 12 says. That is, love the real King. Believe in the real God. Have the real hope. And a warning, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. And we see that wrath. We see it poured out now. Why are the nations in their rage unable to attain peace? Because they rage against God, and he punishes them by turning against them his eye, by hemming them in, making it unable to achieve what they have set their goals to be. He is angry with them, but he is happy with you. For blessed are all who take refuge in him. Blessed are all who know who Jesus is, who trust in what Jesus has done, who are washed in his name, baptized, made clean, permanently restored according to the great and precious promises that cannot be taken away, that no age can end, that no terror can overcome, that no other petty king of this age can even hold up a candle of promise beside. Blessed are you, for you are in the Son. And so you too can laugh at the turning of the new year. You too can be merry and rejoice, not because you've set goals that will fix everything for you, not because you don't see the terror or the hope of the nations and ignore it. No, you see that too. You participate in it. You pray for your president. You pray for your country. You pray for the world. No, you're not ignorant. You're not avoiding the world. but you also know its limit. You know the boundary that has been set for it. You know that it can take your life, but it cannot touch your soul. Because your soul is hidden in the great and precious promises of your Lord Jesus, that King who, again, is managing and moving all things in heaven and earth for the good of those who love him. Neither height nor depth, angel nor demon, power nor principality, anything in all creation shall be able to separate you from that promise given to you in your Lord Jesus Christ. Happy New Year. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, back in a moment with the Daily Lectionary.